Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got Jeff Blum coming up later in the hour. Game 4 of the Astros Sox series tonight. Man, Boston's bats. Like Schwarber hit that grand slam early last night. It was over. Fenway was.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Is that three grand slams?
They are nonstop grand slam. Like Joe Buck had a great call of that slam too, because he said it. He's like, there it is again, another grand slam for the Sox. And
I don't know why Joe Buck, like, it seems, I think Twitter, everybody loves to hate somebody in this industry, but he seems to get some hate. I absolutely love Joe Buck. Like,
he's an outstanding player.
I know, and I don't know why he gets heat. I don't know why people. I don't know what it is. I guess they just hate him.
Like, I knew him as a kid, like in St. Louis. Like, his dad's a legendary broadcaster there. Yeah, and there's a bar there called Jay Buck's, and like I've hung around him. He's buddies with Prongs. Like, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know, personally hung around him since he's become. I think he's a superstar. Like, he's
a superstar. Like, he is the voice of Fox Sports.
Yes, I love his voice. I love it in football. I love it in baseball. I love hearing him on the call. It feels like it's home for a big sporting event.
Yes. I mean, he's calling the primetime Fox game. He's calling the Super Bowl if they have it. He's calling the World Series and the ALCS. I mean, it's as big as it gets for baseball and football. Joe Buck is a part of it. He's very good. It's the same thing with Jim Nantz. You know, they're not the biggest personalities. They're play-by-play guys. And as a result, you know, you lean more towards the color guy. You know what I'm saying. No, it's not a shot at it. It's you're focused on the play, and the color guy is the one that is more jovial or more animated.
Right.
And
I'm just laughing because of what he came out during the pandemic. Remember, people were asking him to
do play-by-play of sex tapes.
Yes, it was narrate.
Yeah, can you do the play-by-play of Gary and Janice from Sudbury, like, their sex tape?
Yeah. He had some weird revelations, too. Like, I think – correct me if I'm wrong. I think at one time he became addicted to hair implants.
Yeah, he almost lost his voice somehow, which, like, it really got scary for him.
Because of hair?
Yeah, he was doing some funky things.
Like,
with his salad.
He was obsessed with his salad, and he had to get new. Like, he was flying around the country to get one new piece of salad.
Yes, and somehow it affected his vocal cords to the point where it really. I think he was concerned that he had lost his career. That's a tough one. You talk about really being concerned with your hair to the point where you can't do play-by-play anymore. Yet maybe you feel like it's worth it if the salad is on point. You're like, what do I need this gig for? I don't know. But, it got dicey there for Joe Buck, for sure. He's really good. You know who's outstanding is that Brian Anderson, though, who calls it for TNT. He is phenomenal. Like, he's not a guy that's on. This is the beauty of baseball is you got in Milwaukee, he calls the 162 on TV for the Milwaukee Brewers, and on radio it's Bob Uecker. And it's Milwaukee. Like, what is there, a million people in Milwaukee? Like, Milwaukee's what? Is it even in the top 20 in population in the country? It's, you know, the Brewers have been around there forever. It's a great sports town. But how does that make sense? That Brian Anderson and Bob Uecker are the guys who are calling the games for the Brewers. Like, how lucky are you if you live in Milwaukee and you're a baseball fan?
How has he not been scooped up? How has Anderson not been scooped up by just a massive market?
I guess he doesn't want to go. He gets quoted all the time because everyone's like, when's he going to New York or Chicago, or when's he going to go full-time at ESPN or something like that? And he's like, I'm not leaving. Because he calls NBA on TNT, and he calls MLB on TNT, and then he does his stuff with the Brewers. He's probably like, why do I need to go anywhere? He's probably making $3-5 million a year. And he is so good, though. He's so good. And you're lucky if you're a baseball fan. You know, you got Buck doing the ALCS. You got Anderson doing the NLCS. It's a good scene, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're in the public eye and you're doing your job, like what we do, or play-by-play or whatever, there's going to be people that are going to hate on you. That's the nature of the business.
Oh, yeah. Everybody hates
somebody. Nature of Twitter and social media. And
I agree.
That's what comes with the gig.
You get people that they're just very particular. You know, whether they like you or don't like your call, or – you know, you make mistakes every live broadcast. You mispronounce a name. You say one player when it's the other. Like, it happens. Like,
right.
It's live TV, but people get on you. Like, you gotta power through. It is what it is. You know?
Yep. Yeah. Well, you talk about taking heat. You know who's the number one whipping boy in national broadcasting? Is A-Rod. Like,
really?
Alex Rodriguez gets destroyed.
Well, and he comes out, I don't know if he puts it on himself, but he comes out with weird stats and misinformation.
A lot of it is warranted. He really, you can tell he's not doing his homework. Like,
yeah.
he's got a lot on his plate. He's doing a lot of different things, and he shows up for Sunday night. And that's prime time, man. Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, that's as big as it gets. And he gets torched, man. And he's an unlikable guy anyway. Like, his reputation has changed a lot over the years. But A-Rod, when he was playing, was not someone people connected to.
I had to unfollow him on social media because I would just be like, I like seeing what people are up to, whatever. But it would just be like, are you getting after it today at 9 in the morning with a selfie of himself on a Bentley with a private jet behind him? I'm like, yeah, I'm getting after I'm getting after the gym, A-Rod, but I'm not on the Bentley. I don't have the private bird. It was just obnoxious. It was too much.
Yeah. Some people, I mean, but that is his lifestyle. The guy's made $500 million.
Oh, he's a zillionaire.
Yeah,
he's a zillionaire.
He's made a lot of money. He's still making a lot of money.
Right. And, but, you know, you don't need to rub it in people's faces. That's the thing. Like, nobody wants to see, because it's kind of a douchey thing to do. You know,
well, every
I
once
mean?
In a
like,
while,
hey,
fine.
Look at, you know,
every
like,
once in a while, fine. But, you know, every single day, there's something else you're getting up to that is.
Oh, yeah.
Just ludicrous in nature, you know.
Yeah.
Save that one for, you know, maybe tomorrow, or keep that one in the private chat, A-Rod.
Oh, yeah. Or it'd be like, look at, I love this tie, and you'd be holding the tie, and you could see his $700,000 watch, and it's like,
yeah,
it's not about the tie.
You know exactly.
It's
that's
not
what it is.
About the tie.
It's a prop. The tie is a prop. Yeah.
The only guy who could pull it off successfully, and he does it on purpose, is Matt Cause. He always sends out those pictures from Muskoka, but he always is like, he does it, and he'll say
it's
like daily.
It's self-deprecating.
Yeah.
He knows what it is.
Yeah, it's so funny, though. He must have a beautiful place up there, but he just sits at the edge of the pier. He's like, daily douchebag picture, or whatever he says. I can't remember what he says, but it's kind of funny. I enjoy that.
Matty's doing his thing up there. Bottom of the wild, bet she's into one right now watching the Dodgers game. The Dodgers are up 2-0 last time I checked.
Yeah.
So the bet is in. You know, it is. Things are happening here. Atlanta, the Dodgers. You guys got your win last night. Al's brother put some weird voodoo on me. Too at the end of the segment when I was making my pick, he was like pointing at me and going like this with his fingers, and I'm like, what are you doing, Al's brother? And I think he might have put a mojo on me, and
I
I'm
didn't see that. Did we catch that on the camera?
Yeah, he was doing it. He was doing
it. Al's brother doing like a hex.
It was like a hex.
It was the Italian curse. It's the Italian curse.
It's the cooler curse is what it is. And now I feel like I'm
now
I got a temperature that's sinking. I'm in trouble here.
He handed it off.
He certainly did. All right, so we're giving away a pair of tickets weekly moving forward here. We have a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Detroit Red Wings on Saturday, October 30th. So every day this week we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. If you're the first one to call in, name that Leaf, you win the pair of tickets. So we have a clue yesterday. Here is today's clue, clue number two for the week. This former Maple Leaf played with two other Canadian teams, the Canucks and the Canadiens. The Canucks and the Canadiens. Okay, so put that in the bank, and we'll see what else we have the rest of the week, and we'll give you the cue to call on Friday after the final clue. Jeff Blum later in the hour. We're tracking the ball game as it currently stands. Let's fire up some confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a signal.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
I can't confirm. The confirm or deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 RX350 premium package from just $268 biweekly for 40 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details.
I love the Fergler. I remember once he walked in the room and Ty Domi arranged for us all to drive these blue BMWs. Whole team, blue BMW, welcome to the Leafs. I was like, this is sick, man. Like, just a free BMW, blue one. Fergler walks in, he's like, I can't confirm or deny, guys, but there's a sponsorship deal with Ford. You can't drive the BMWs. Ty stands up and he goes, we're keeping the cars. And he walked out of the room. The meeting was over. I was like, just stood up. He goes, we're keeping the cars.
Yeah. Thanks, Fergie. Ron Fergundy. Go read that teleprompter and leave us
Ron alone. Fergundy.
Yeah. He was what he was, and he's still in the league, and he's going to build the Arizona Coyotes from the bottom up. And speaking of which, as we know, earlier this week it was announced the Arizona Coyotes are going with a relaxed – dress code, just like the Maple Leafs. And Austin Matthews took it to heart last night. I don't know what he was wearing, but he's kicking this into overdrive, man. That wasn't business cash for 34 last night. It was like
track pants. One of the most stylish dudes on earth. That little like man chest purse is probably worth more than our cars.
It's probably $5,000. Yeah, it could be more than
five.
That.
50.
It could be. Peter Holland 50. Had a great tweet today. Did you see John Tavares? He had an untucked shirt, and Holland's like, that screams of a guy that pulled into the parking lot and forgot that it's casual. He's like, I better untuck my shirt.
Yeah. So true. That's the thing. Like, it's for the young guys, which is great. Everyone will get on board, and comfort is the straight, you know, what you really want. But, like, I guarantee you Spezza likes a nice suit and JT and those guys. And it's probably a work in progress for them, I would think.
Yeah, well, exactly. Spezza's been in the league for 20 years.
You know, there's a lot of things going around about it. But the one thing, and I talked to somebody yesterday, and I think it's a great point. If young kids that – playing hockey's expensive, man. And it's like you see the guys walking in with a suit, and are you pressured to go to hockey when you're a kid as a suit? Just maybe you don't have to. Maybe you don't need it, right?
Well, that's a good point in terms of messaging. Now, that said, we just mentioned that this guy had a bag on him that was maybe worth $50,000. So
okay, but he makes $11 million a year.
I know, but so does the guy in the suit if you make it to the NHL. But you're right in terms of the messaging, yes. If you know, suits, and that's always been an issue with minor hockey. I remember as a kid growing up, you had to wear a shirt and tie, and it was like, why am I 9 years old wearing a shirt and tie? When you look back on it now, it's stupid. For kids to wear suits or jackets or whatever to a hockey game.
I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I think back then people were like, it shows you want to be like the professionals. It shows you like you respect and discipline and all of those things that people tried to hammer home. It's just a little different. It's a different mindset now. Yeah. I don't think it was stupid back then, but I don't think relaxing it is stupid either. I think to each its own.
Yeah. Yep. No, and it's an interesting point that all brings up, though, as well as, you know, in terms of the image, in terms of the message and all that. But, okay, confirm or deny, here we go. Every team in the NHL will have a relaxed dress code by 2025.
Deny. I just think some teams will have a different thought process compared to this, you know? I mean...
I'm confirming it because I think once the tip of the iceberg is shown, because now the young kids show up in the other markets and they're like, wait a minute, why is that guy, like, I want to show personality. And I'm going to confirm it. The only caveat is if Lou Lamoriello is still running
exactly
a team.
Exactly what I was going to say. There's guys out there that are just, I would guarantee you they're going to say, I don't care what other teams are doing around the league. This is a good one. I'm going to confirm it. I think everyone's just going to say, fine, wear what you want.
3 years down the road, right?
Like, but I just said, you said everyone, correct?
Absolutely, all 32
I'm denying
teams.
It. I don't think all 32. I think there will be an outlier. Maybe 28 out of 32, but I think there'll be a few that won't.
Okay. This one, I think we have an obvious answer from one of us here, but confirm or deny, one of the Astros or Dodgers will come back and win the series.
Confirm. The Dodgers are going to start mashing, and they're already up to what I know as their tricks.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit greasy for us to lock into a bet that's already, you know,
well,
the game
thanks
it's
to
ongoing,
the grappler, but... the idiot has to type that into the message center. Like,
well, I wasn't paying attention. I knew the game was a
neither
flag.
Was I. We, no one
it.
Needed to know anything.
Yeah,
but
we're on
he
the
had
air
to
here.
Do it.
Yeah, it's all good. That's fine. Listen, they're the comeback kids. The Braves have already done it twice. They'll come back and win game three. No problem.
I think there'll be one comeback.
Yeah, the Astros are down 2-1. It's not like they're down 3-0 in the series.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It'll be the Astros.
I, I don't know. The Sox, like, I don't see how they can have a Cinderella vibe to them. It doesn't make sense. They're the Boston Red Sox. Like, you know, rich, they win a ton, they go to the World Series, they win the World Series a lot in the 21st century, but it feels like they have a mojo going for them, and their bats are so hot that it will be tough for them to overcome that. So I'm gonna deny it, actually. I'm going to deny it. Obviously, I got to go to the well now with the Braves. You know, I put that down. And Boston, it just – something about this team, and, again, their offense is so red hot right now. And I know Houston can get hot too, but, like, they shellacked them last night.
Yeah.
Smoked them. Pivetta's on the mound tonight for the Sox. If they get one more in Fenway, they're feeling good. All right, confirm or deny. Moving on here. Jared Goff, a.k.a. Jerry Goff, confirm or deny. Jerry Goff is a starting quarterback in the NFL next season.
Yes. What do you think? Like, he'll be in Detroit. Jerry Goff's in Detroit.
He won't be in Detroit. They got to chew on it for 1 year. Then they got to get rid. Dan Campbell.
Jerry Goff. Yeah, I get it. What is Dan Campbell? He wants to bite people's kneecaps off. He doesn't know squat. He wants to bite kneecaps. And Jerry Goff, if there's one thing I know about Jerry Goff, he'll respond. You watch. Jerry Goff will post a win next week.
Well, guess where they're at next week?
Where?
The Rams. They're in L.A. taking on the Rams. And Jerry Goff.
Jerry Goff is going to get rinsed in L.A.
Yeah. I'm not touching that game, though. For a survivor pick, that's exactly what happens. The Rams, when Jerry Goff was with the Rams, this would be a game the Rams would lose.
There is no chance Detroit can win that game. I'm sorry.
I don't see it either, but.
I mean, we said that about the Jets last year going in there.
Are you guys still under survivor?
And 2 years ago, the Bucs got us two with the Rams. We're not taking the Rams this week. Like, this would be 3 years in a row where we're like, this is a lock. The Rams are going to cruise, and they got dusted.
Yeah.
So I think Jerry Goff could show up. If he's ever going to perform, it's in L.A. this week.
Dude,
right?
The Detroit is
– they suck.
Yeah. Who's our boy that we have on that played there last year? Luke.
Yeah,
Luke Wilson.
Yeah, he just said it's just there's such a negative mojo there. They can't get elite talent to sign. Like, it's just
they're so bad.
Like, it's embarrassing.
There are some horrible teams in the NFL. Horrendous. Openly trying to tank, and they all have a win, except for one team, Detroit Lions,
who were trying to take a step.
Who think Dan Campbell will, you know, move them in the right direction here? They are pathetic. But
yeah,
I'm gonna deny it, though. I think Jerry Goff is a backup quarterback being paid a ridiculous amount of money, an absurd amount of money. Like, he got them to the Super Bowl. I get it. That was 3 years ago now.
Jared Goff, gonna get cut. He's gonna get cut and then re-signed as a backup.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I see it. Yeah, I'm not sure he's got the makings of a guy who's a lock starter in this league. I think he's a bottom third quarterback in terms of starters, and that can turn over. Look what's happening with young quarterbacks in the league. So I think it's a coin flip, but I'll go against you, and I'll say deny. It's a coin flip. I mean, he very well could be a starter, but I'll deny it.
I'm denying it, but he's going to get paid a lot, but he'll just be pushed to the number two spot.
Right, right. Well, and listen, the Lions are going to have a bunch of picks. They're probably going to draft the quarterback. Do you keep Jerry Goff around playing the role of Jimmy Garoppolo? Is he a starter for the first 4 weeks and then pass the baton? That's possible. Confirm or deny, Nick Ritchie will be off the top line of Toronto within the next three games.
Denying it. Yeah. I think they're going to – when you have a night like that, it's just – I kind of know how this deal goes. They're gonna do some damage on Friday against the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah,
you're just not holding those guys off the score sheet again. It's not happening.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a game where it explodes and Ritchie gets a couple points and starts to feel. You got to give it five or six games with Austin in the lineup, not just, you know, mishmash. Like, now that's the line that Sheldon would like to see and see if they could develop some chemistry. That's his first game, like, legitimately with Austin right there. So I think you got to give it five, six games. Depends on the success of the team, too, but I think they have a monster night and Ritchie gets going. But he,
the one thing, Jamie, he has to avoid at all costs is if it's not going in right now, he cannot, and I've seen him do it in the past, he can't take a couple dumb slashing penalties.
Because
that will just put the coach into a situation where he will lose it. Because You just can't do it. If it's not, you just got to do your thing, get in the corner, get the puck, get it to the guys, hit, be physical, be a pain in the ass. But do not, when things are going poorly, or they're not poorly, but they're not going right now offensively, do not take one of those stupid penalties. Don't do it.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'll deny it as well. I don't. It may not be much further on the horizon, though. Like, he hasn't done anything, let's be blunt, you know, through four games. Nick Ritchie has not really shown up in terms of bringing much production not a guy that you
expect to
dominate.
I'm not pulling the plug on
games.
It yet, though.
No, and also you got to consider the other options, right? Like, Mikheyev is injured. I think they want to be committed. We'll see if Kerfoot stays in the middle and for how long. But, you know, is Pierre Engvall getting a crack at the top line? I don't see that.
You know,
who else are you going to move up there if it's not Richie at this point, if you want to keep bunting with Tavares and Nylander?
Possibly Kasha, but he's hurt now too.
Yeah, Kerfoot, I thought maybe. Like, Kerfoot's a guy who's pretty, you know, Swiss Army knife.
Yes.
But yeah, Kasha was a guy that I thought might get a sniff there, but
last
I don't know if
games,
he took a shot. He's very quiet.
Yes,
very
he's
quiet.
Been quiet the last couple of games.
Yeah, we'll see if he's healthy. He blocked that shot last night. Didn't practice today, but they still got lots of runway. So
right.
We'll see if he plays.
But yeah, I think you got to give it a little bit more time. If that's what you saw all summer and all camp, and you want to see it, Matthews just got back. All right, final one here. Confirm or deny? Lamar Jackson is the NFL's front runner for the MVP through 6 weeks.
I'll confirm it, but I think Dak Prescott is right. I'm sorry.
What did you just say? Roll the tape.
Dude.
Did you just pump the tires of Dak Prescott?
I just think it's I'm buying into what I hate so much, but it's a part of the hype machine, man. They're the most popular team in football, regardless of what you think of them, if you're not a fan. Mm-hmm. They, like, move the needle. They're kind of like the Tiger Woods of the NFL. That logo, the whole nine of it, and he's a big part of what they're doing right now, and he's going to get a lot of love.
Yep.
Shit, Derrick Henry should get some love, too,
absolutely,
right?
He should. And he is. Like, Henry's right there, man. You can make that case.
He's done it in the past before where he's in the conversation, but it's always deferred to a quarterback.
It generally is.
Yeah, the quarterbacks will be passing over him and leaping over him as the season goes. If
Kyler
not
Murray
there.
Needs some love here too, right?
Like, no
Kyler
kidding. Murray's... So does Tom Brady.
And
so
Tom Brady.
Yeah, you're right.
Tom Brady, you're right.
You're right.
Yeah. But I'll confirm it too. Lamar's numbers are crazy, off the charts. They're 5-1. They started with a loss. Ever since then, look at the runs that they're on. Lamar has been phenomenal. But you can make a case for Henry, for Brady, for Dak, for Murray. And then it feels like a step below that is where you see Herbert and Allen. And, you know, Mahomes is still lurking, man. They're 3-3. Would you be shocked at all if they ran off, you know, 10 wins in a row and Mahomes ends up with 5,000 yards and 48 touchdowns? And I think.
Not the least.
Yeah, we have not heard the last of Mahomes in this conversation. Confirm or deny, brought to you by our friends at Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 UX 250H premium package from just $208 biweekly for 40 months. Visit our friends at DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. Again, DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. We'll have our look ahead to Week 7 in the NFL. Already through 6 weeks, man, into Week 7 as of Thursday night. Baker Mayfield, he's not sure if he's going to play, man. We got a big game on Thursday night with Cleveland. Cleveland 3-3-3, too. They got to get going. Like, Cleveland has been getting smoked at times. They got crushed by Arizona last week.
And for future this Thursday, it'll just be me.
Al's brother's out. After he put a mojo on me last night that worked out.
I'm just saying, I'm going to give it a shot this week on my own.
I'm concerned about that. Okay. Well, we'll see what Al's brother has to say about that. We'll give him a chance to speak on it and respond.
No.
I understand. It's
this
locked
week,
in.
It's just me.
Okay. I just don't see it happening.
All right. Well, maybe Al's brother will be heard from. We'll see. Jeff Blum coming up, former MLB Astros TV analyst on the championship series in the AL and the NL. And we'll get to our confirm or deny after dark a little bit later on in the hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jeff Blum will join us here in a moment. The Astros at Fenway down 2-1. They got smoked last night. And we're tracking the Dodgers-Braves game, Game 3 at Dodger Stadium. And the Leafs are not in action until Friday night. And I saw Kristen Shilton write an article about Mitch Marner, and his frame of mind, where I thought he played much better on Saturday night. I thought he was buzzing last night. But he's a point collector. He's a guy that's chasing triple digits, right? He wants 100 points, and he's starting off the season with one, you know, through four games. That's going to be frustrating. Like, it's, I think at some point the levy will break here, and he'll start unloading on some points. But it's not the start to the season he was clearly expecting, based on the nature of his play and what he's capable of putting up offensively.
He's got to just continue with the work. That's the one thing when you're a skilled player. And Mitch Marner, I don't think a lot of people understand, when he plays really well, he's the hardest working guy out there. He's always dogging the puck, chasing the puck. Mm-hmm. So if he just continues with the work, all he needs is a lucky one. He's just there's just no way it's going to continue, right?
Right.
Friday night, I'm telling you, these guys will destroy everything. I'm predicting it.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. San Jose coming off a back-to-back, not a great team anyway. They had some comments about Evander Kane today. We'll try to get to those later on. Not looking good for his future in San Jose. When the players are like, nah, we'll figure it out if he's coming back. That's not exactly support, you know, public support.
Agreed.
Here is longtime MLB-er. He's an analyst down in Houston. The Astros are now 2-1. They're back in action at Fenway tonight. Zach Greinke on the mound. Here is Jeff Blum back on Overdrive. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. How scary are these Red Sox bats right now? I know Houston's capable of keeping up with anyone, if not being a pace car offensively, but Boston's bats have carried over from the DS. They are so dialed in right now. That's got to be somewhat terrifying for the Houston Astros.
It's extremely terrifying alone on itself just because that offense is so good. You know, the addition of Kyle Schwarber to that lineup, you keep hearing guys talk about it, how much of an impact he's had. But you really start to see it with the selectivity some of these hitters have, and now with some of the pitching issues that the Astros are having, and that just compounds the fact and makes those Red Sox hitters that much more dangerous. So I'm happy I'm a fan right now and not having to try and break down a lot of these in-game situations, because it has not been pretty at all for Astros pitching against these hitters.
No, it hasn't. And now you got Zach Greinke on the mound tonight. You know, a grizzled vet, a guy who's been there, he's been through the ringer. What do you expect his approach to be like tonight?
Well, I tell you what, he had a rough end of the season. He was on the COVID protocol for a little while, and then he eventually ended up having neck stiffness, and it took him out of a couple of starts. And by the time he was ready to come back, he wasn't really stretched out. So they used him out of a bullpen for a couple of innings. And I think that was the idea coming into the playoffs, is to have him be kind of that middle guy to maybe build a bridge from the starter to the back end of the bullpen. But now with the issues that the Astros are having with the loss of Lance McCullers Jr., Luis Garcia coming out of his start early, it has really forced Zach Greinke to get into that starting rotation and try and give the Astros, you know, some length. I think if they actually got three innings out of him, they would be pretty happy about that right now, because that would be way more than they've gotten in any of their starters in the first three games.
What the heck happens to pitchers in the postseason? It's like, you just said it, like, wait. We need to get three innings out of a guy, where it's just, I don't know what it is about the postseason. Some of the best, it's like two or three and it's game over. How does that happen in the postseason? What goes on?
It's amazing, because in years past, we've really seen very good pitching put down some very good hitters. And I think it's the exact opposite this season, where good hitters have really gotten to some decent pitching. And, you know, throughout the course of the season for the Houston Astros, Urquidy was a solid starter. Luis Garcia, in his first full season, did a fantastic job. And Lance McCullers was lights out. So you get to the postseason, and all of a sudden, it seems like some of their weaknesses are getting exposed. But you guys know as well as I do, when we're watching these games and you start to be a little bit too fine on the edges and you realize you're facing a team that is barreling up everything, all of a sudden you fall behind, you're in a hitter's count, or you walk a guy and you've got traffic everywhere. It puts pressure not just on the defense, but on, you know, the ability to throw a good strike and an effective strike. And there's really no – I don't see the Astro pitchers setting up the Red Sox. I don't see them pitching in. I don't see them making the Red Sox uncomfortable, but I hope that, you know, here early and quick, maybe Zach Greinke does take advantage of the opportunity to make these guys uncomfortable and move their feet a little bit.
We're chatting with Jeff Blum. As we look on the NLCS side of things, we're tracking the game right now, and the Braves are rallying in the fourth. It's now tied 2-2. The Dodgers are up 2-0. Austin Riley with a big double, this deep center field, getting things cooking. My boy Austin Riley, and next thing you know, the game is tied.
You've never heard of the guy before.
It looks as if Walker Buehler is starting to freak out, and here's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Buehler is, you know, the definition of a stud. It's different on the National League side of things in terms of how you might use your bullpen and how you approach the actual game planning here, but the Braves, you just can't count them out. I mean, all they do is come back. The first two games were a perfect example of that, and the Dodgers with a borderline must-win here in Game 3. They're up 2-0 early, and already Atlanta's tied it up in the top of the fourth. What can you say about the persistence of a team like the Atlanta Braves?
The Atlanta Braves are fun to watch. It's amazing to me that they're doing this while Ronald Acuña is on the sideline watching this game. You know, he's a dynamic force in that lineup. But, you know, picking up Jock Peterson, the ex-Dodger, he's come up with some big hits. I think he also had an RBI hit in this game. But, you know, never underestimate a team that is playing uphill, so to speak, and doesn't have the expectation that the Dodgers do. And it really seems like, you know, Snitker, for the manager for the Braves, has really kind of galvanized these guys, brought them together, and got and has them believing. And you can't underestimate a group of guys who believe and play well together, and they've really put things together. The fact that they're getting this many base runners against that pitching staff of the Dodgers amazes me. I'm with you in the sense that Walker Buehler is a lights-out future ace of the Dodgers, and he's been getting beat around. I don't know if it's fatigue or some of his pitches are flattening out, or it could just be that some of these hitters have figured him out. But I was blown away the other day to watch Dave Roberts take Max Scherzer out of that game after 79 pitches. I know that Scherzer said that his arm was a little bit dead, but I'm not sure that, you know, Friedman and those guys over there in L.A. traded away so many prospects to have a guy taken out in the third, fourth inning of a playoff game. They've got to figure out a way to get some depth, because before we know it, it's going to be similar to 2017 when Dave Roberts ran through that bullpen and they were just shredded.
You just mentioned Jock Peterson, and he's got quite a scene going on right now. He's got a skullet. He's got the dye job. And he's breaking the mold. I know baseball players love their jewelry. They love their necklaces. He's going with pearls. Have you ever in your life seen anything like that routine that he's got going on right now?
Yeah, I'm assuming this is a family show, so I'm not going to talk about the pearl necklace too much. But he's gone like the polar opposite, you know, from one end of the spectrum where you've got guys with bling and diamonds and ice and black diamonds and all of the, you know, these emblems, you know, like Verdugo does for the Boston Red Sox, and then you've got Jock Peterson who went straight, you know, he
pearls,
went old,
straight
old
pearls.
School
pearls.
With the pearls,
right? Yeah.
Like he raided his grandma's jewelry box and said, I'm going with this. And it's going crazy in Atlanta. All the fans are wearing them. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's all you need, man. And listen, now they're up 3-2. The rally is in effect. They got the bases loaded on Buehler. Things are
believe in the pearls.
It could be the pearls. Absolutely.
We do, Jock.
Always appreciate the time, Jeff. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
No, you guys are a blast. Great being on with you. Thank you.
There he is, Jeff Blum, Astros analyst, longtime MLB-er. I'm glad you brought that up. I noticed it the other night. I'm like, this guy's
like,
wearing pearls. Like,
yeah,
I've never seen that before.
His grandma had to give it to him because I have never in my life seen – because, you know, the bling those guys have on. And this guy wheels up, and he took his bucket off, and he's got a skullet, dye job, and pearls. I'm like, there's no way.
I love it. Big personality, man. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't mind that because you know that he did that on purpose, and like, I'm going to go the other way. Instead of having, you know, all diamonds or anything, he's like, I'm going old school.
Well,
the skullet, too.
The skullet, the amount of plays at the plate where
he hit a bomb the other night, too, like a bomb.
Yes, he can, man, he had it when he was with the Dodgers. Like, he was right there as kind of ahead of the curve with Seager and ahead of Bellinger, but not far ahead of him as like a young core piece. But the bling that goes flying off these guys when there's a collision at the plate, you know, or they dive into second or they make a defensive play.
Dude, it happened with Baez with the Mets. He went into home plate. He lost his earring, and they didn't find it.
Yeah, and that's probably a $100,000 earring.
No kidding.
You know,
it's crazy.
It's crazy how much money, and everyone's wearing different chains, and you know they're worth a fortune. But there they are, my Atlanta Braves. three-run rally in the fourth. They're now leading 3-2.
Bases loaded with two outs.
Yeah, Walker Buehler, man, he is getting crushed. Although, this is the thing. Like, Charlie Morton just had to hit, so I guess it's going back around. Does that mean Freddie Freeman's coming up? All right, we'll come back and we'll give you an update on what's going on in the game. We'll get to some confirm and deny after dark, and we'll look ahead to Week 7 in the NFL. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Ooh, I can neither confirm or deny that.
All right, here we go. Confirm or deny after dark, which means we have time for one more.
Horny confirm or deny.
Absolutely. So the San Jose Sharks, they had to answer for the news that came out last night. Evander Kane suspended for 21 games.
What are the comments?
Well, I saw Vlasic's comments. Like, yeah. Vlasic, who's a longstanding vet in the room, was asked, you know, what do you make of Evander coming back in 22 games? And he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but, yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens when the suspension's over. It wasn't like, oh, we can't wait to have him back. He made a mistake, and it was basically, we'll see. You know?
It was cold. You could tell it was pretty cold. You could, even Bobby Bugner's comments, he had to dance around and said, hey, listen, you know, we're going to –
It sounds like they've got, I don't know who they've gone to, whether it be Doug or somebody else, and said, under any circumstance, we don't want him back in the locker room, so you deal with it, basically.
I don't know if you saw Stu Grimson's tweet yesterday, and Stu is a really smart guy, a lawyer background in that. He said it wouldn't surprise him, based on what's happened with Evander, he said the Sharks would lean to try and nullify the contract. Which, you know, that not buyout, nullify right. based on. So that was lawyer speak. So I don't, again, there's probably a lot of things going
they'll
on behind the scenes.
They'll be trying to figure that out. Yep, they'll be. And let's be honest, this isn't facetious or joking. He needs the money. Like, he has put himself in a bad financial position, Evander Kane. So, yep. I mean, if he's facing that because of him trying to dance around COVID rules, it's just I don't know where his head is at. It's not a good place. So with that in mind, confirm or deny, after dark, Evander Kane will not play another game for the San Jose Sharks.
Totally confirm. I don't know if he plays another game, period. I don't know who wants to take it on. Yeah. I hope he does. I hope he does, and I hope he can get it together, but that's a difficult one. And I told you before, you do research and try to get information. The term bad guy, it's not often tossed around, but that comes back to you once in a while, and it's not good.
I mean, for San Jose, yeah, that's a tough one. I think he will. I mean, if he does the suspension and there's no legalities and loopholes and stuff, you bring him back, and hopefully, I mean, his statement alone yesterday, like, he is apologetic. He says apparently he's getting counseling and stuff. That doesn't absolve anybody from
anything.
I don't
know, get counseling for faking a COVID.
No,
I don't know what that's all about.
But what was he doing it for? What was he doing it for? He was trying to just go out and have beers, or what was he using the certificate for?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what that was all about, what the reasoning was. But clearly the NHL caught him and had the evidence, and like 21 games is a massive suspension. Like,
yeah, it is.
Massive.
Quarter of a season.
Yeah, that's a huge financial hit. This one's a tough one the day after it comes out, because it's an emotional answer to say confirm, and it makes a lot of sense right now. But I am curious, where are they going to be at in a month and a half? Where does the PA come in on this? You know, is it as easy? What if the owner's like, listen, I'm paying him, he's got to play.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I'll deny it, but I'm not overly confident on that. But because that's where it does get sticky. It's one thing for the players to say we don't want him, Bob Bugner to say we don't want him, Doug Wilson. It's another thing for the owner. It's like, oh, yeah, are you going to pay him? Are you paying him, Logan Couture? I'm paying him, and guess what? If I have to pay him, he's playing. So that's where it gets complicated.
What's also complicated, he's a really good player outside of the, you know, really bad things going on
off the ice, but on the ice, he's effective, man.
But that's what, how many times have we seen that? You know, people make excuses if somebody can help their organization. If the guy was an average or below average or, you know, player in that, he's gone. That's it. But they always make excuses for second and third and eight chances for somebody.
That's 6'2", tough as nails, score 30 goals. Who the hell doesn't want that? But the baggage is so big.
I understand.
It literally makes people say not even close.
I agree. but there's always one organization that says, you know what, we'll take a flyer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you see it all the time.
Well, crazy, like, remember the Mike Hoffman Ottawa Senators story, like how crazy that felt at that point, and then Hoffman's returning for the Habs. You know, he's coming back tonight, I believe.
Right. Yeah, he is.
And, you know, obviously we never really heard where that story went or what went on there. But point being is, in the moment, it was like, wow, this is wild. Like, how is this going to play out? And then dust settles and things can change. We're into week 7 of the NFL and hopefully a couple of championship series continuing into the weekend. Bookseats.com is the place to be if you're looking to book seats, book travel, book accommodations, book plans, you know, revolving around sporting events. It's the best in the business, bookseats.com. And I think Leafs at Pens, like, we keep talking about American teams are coming up. The border's opening up here. Canadians and people in Toronto can go watch the Leafs on the road again, right? You can go watch them in Pittsburgh on Saturday night. Watch them in Vegas when they go there. Watch them in New York when they go there, Chicago. Yeah.
And people, like, get in a car and go to Pitt and watch it. It's 5 hours away. It's nothing.
Exactly. So that would be my choice. If I could watch a Leaf game on the road, watch a Leaf game in person. I've still not got down to one of the home games. So I'm looking forward to doing that here. But hitting the road would be outstanding. And any of the baseball games, too. If they're back in Houston on the weekend, back in Atlanta, you're talking do-or-die games, game 6, 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all over it. I love it. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. Bookseats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. So, we'll see what we got in the NBA tonight, right? LeBron is back, and the Lakers are playing the Warriors in the nightcap, and it's Milwaukee against Brooklyn. And this is what a season opener should look like, right? You got Milwaukee, Brooklyn. No. It's not about any other league necessarily, although it is. It's an indirect shot.
This is about McDavid for you.
Of course it is.
Still, I mean, Tuesday night was you were so mad at that.
Well,
I get it.
It's not my league. It doesn't affect my life at all. I was more put off by the fact that Seattle was playing. Like, they're new to the league. Why are they playing on the first night of the season? Like, they're not relevant.
That was their cute little way of saying the old expansion team versus the new one. Go ahead.
I get it.
Dude, I'm right with you. There was a way to squeeze in Edmonton at Los Angeles in some kind of mid-game or something.
Right. And now, like, tonight, this is Kevin Durant's plan, LeBron's plan, Giannis's plan, Steph's plan. Like, this is what you're getting tonight, man. Yeah, the big boys are playing tonight.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that. We're going to have game 4 at Fenway, and last time I checked, my Atlanta Braves are up 4-2 on the Dodgers. Bottom of the fourth, and Charlie Morton is absolutely dialed in. He gave up a couple of runs early, but he's feeling it now. The Braves hung 4 on Walker Buehler in the top of the fourth. So
that old bastard Charlie Morton sticking around, I thought he was done after last year.
Well, a few years ago. Like, he didn't get any offers. He went down to Tampa on the cheap, and he completely revived his career.
There you go.
Completely revived his career. Now he's pitching a game 3 at Dodger Stadium in the NLCS. And, you know, he's looking pretty good through 4 or 3 2/3. So take that for what it's worth. We got a couple of ball games to track tonight, a couple of NBA games tonight, a bunch of games in the NHL as well. And the Leafs are not back in action until Friday night. So kind of
Which
a weird start to the season. Give them a chance to kind of ease into it a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Matthews played, but now he kind of gets a little bit of a few days to kind of just, you know, even ramp it up even more and let the team, you know, it bites a little bit of Mrazek's injury, 3 more days out of that. Like, they're, you know, we'll see what happens with Kasha. You know, that's another scenario if he's nicked up. So they've got some things happening there. It's always nice to have a couple days just to practice and just kind of take a breather and revisit some of the things you liked and some of the things that you got to work on.
Absolutely. 2-1-1 to start the season. So not a bad start, but a long runway here, man. We got a lot of games still to be played here. So we got a couple of ball games, a couple of NBA games, a bunch of hockey games tonight. It's going to be fun. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at...
You choke like a pig on 18, just like Scott Hoke, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.